This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. And so as mentioned throughout this week on our 101, the focus is about Industry 4.0, what it promises us and what we're doing to prepare for it.
So over the past few days, we talked about how prepared Malaysia is to adapt to Industry 4.0. And we also talked about how our job market is expected to change. So if you missed that, you can find the podcast on Spotify or on the BFM app. You can just type in 101 Industry 4.0.
So what we heard from our guest yesterday, Lim Ka Ching, who is, of course, from the Human Resources Development Fund, was that no job will be unaffected by the transition. And therefore, everybody, all of us, would benefit from learning new skills that can help us maximize benefits for the current technological developments and what they're going to bring for us.
And today, we wanted to look at the gender gap in the workforce. And this is significant for Industry 4.0 because for years now, there has been this conversation at the global level about how women are underrepresented in science and tech-related fields, and this will certainly be essential to Industry 4.0.
Sure, and I think there are also all those long-running conversations about the... because all the old stuff that caused the gender gap in the first place isn't going away. It hasn't entirely gone away.
Yeah.
So if anything, we're looking at a new challenge. So we're trying to understand how the gender gap will be playing out over time as countries and industries try to adapt. So joining us now is Dr. Sumitra Nair, Vice President for Talent Development and Digital Entrepreneurship at MDEC, the Malaysia Digital Economy Corporation. Thank you so much for joining us. At the global level, there is now this concern that women are at risk of getting left out in IR 4.0 because they have been traditionally underrepresented in science and tech-related careers. What is the situation here in Malaysia?
Yeah, I think we are... the situation here is probably in line with what, you know, the world over is facing, right? The good thing, though, is that I think, you know, foundationally, there seems to be a healthy intake of females in terms of STEM, especially at university level, especially for ICT-related courses, right? Computer science and all of that. So there is a good intake and there is a good graduation rate. So more than half of the graduates in STEM seem to be women, right? However, what seems to be happening is after graduation, after a few years of graduation, when, you know, whether it's the take time off to start a family or whatever, that's when we start to see a major dip. And I think, you know, this is where we need to have more flexible working arrangements as well as career comeback programs for women, because they have to leave, right? And many countries, you have the same phenomena where, you know, there is a dip, but then in many other countries, the women sort of come back into the workforce. In Malaysia, you find that is not happening as quickly as it should be.
And can you talk to us about why tackling the gender gap issue should be a priority as we adapt to IR 4.0?
I think it's really important because if you look at it, right, when you look at the nature of fourth IR and what are the future skills that's required, that people are talking about, you know, the soft skills and the deep human skills like problem solving, critical thinking, you know, being creative, being good at communicating and so on. Now, women naturally have a tendency for these things because the nature of their roles requires a lot of problem solving and critical thinking and so on. And so if we don't get women in our workforce, or at least to make it as welcoming as it should be, we're actually missing out on these natural skills. And so we have to like work harder, you know, we have to work harder at getting our, you know, predominantly male workforce to develop these skills, which may not be inherently something which they have or naturally as for women. So I think that's one. And then number two also, when you think about it, as I mentioned, right, so there's a strong intake of women into the universities as well as graduating from STEM programs. Now, obviously, there is a significant amount of investments that are being made in terms of education, you know, either whether it is scholarships or loans or just, you know, even the time that is spent educating these women. And so, you know, like any kind of investment you make, it's always the smartest thing to do is to harness these investments, right? And so from that point of view also, we are already spending so much, you know, on the education and building the capabilities. It's in our best interest to then harness these capabilities, in my view.
So engineering is a field where we're seeing precisely this, right? Because women are still vastly underrepresented. And based on statistics by the Board of Engineers Malaysia, we're seeing that 26% of engineering graduates are women, but then only 6% go on to become professional engineers. So how has that affected the industry?
Yeah, I think diversity is always something that adds greater value to the business, because only when you have diversity, then, you know, you give space to things like innovation, you know, and new kinds of thinking, because otherwise everybody thinks alike, you know, and you get the same old ideas. So if you're looking to be a nation which is innovative and coming up with new ideas, pushing the boundaries, this is where diversity is important, all forms of diversity. And I guess at the very least, gender diversity.
Just now you were saying how it's difficult for some women to return to the workforce after taking a career break because they were caring for their families. And we've also been talking about the need for more paternity leave so that fathers can help out at home. Are we not focusing enough on these issues for IRA 4.0? Because usually we're talking about the other things like technology and skill sets and all those.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I tend to take a more optimistic view. The good thing about Fourth IR is I feel it levels out the playing field a little bit more, in the sense that these days you can do a lot online, you know, because of all these digital technologies. So a lot of the online, for example, freelance work, where you can actually, you know, get jobs via platforms like Fiverr and Freelancer and Odess and so on. These are platforms where you can do fairly high-value work, you know, whether it's in terms of programming or creative design or even industrial engineering, can be done remotely. And so, therefore, in the past, you know, maybe in Malaysia or many other countries where you say you need to make it easy for women to return to work, and I think when you spoke about return, then it was like a physical return to work. But in this day and age, with Fourth IR and with, you know, connectivity, 5G connectivity that, you know, the government is also rolling out, more and more it's going to be easier for women to be able to participate in the workforce without actually physically being there all the time, right? So in that sense, it is leveling the playing field. But yes, definitely we need to then have different ways of thinking about work, because, you know, maybe we are too focused still on conventional sort of 9-to-5 physically present kind of work. But with Fourth IR, you could be doing work freelance, right? Or on contract basis. And so how do you protect these women? How do you safeguard these women? And then how do you make it easy, right, for them to become part of the workforce, but at the same time ensure that all the kinds of protection that you give to employees is also extended to these kind of women, right? So in other countries, you find that other than freelance work, companies also have things like job sharing, which maybe we don't do enough here. So those kind of initiatives are definitely going to be very important. At MDEC, we recently launched an initiative in partnership with Talent Corp called Cybersecurity Career Comeback Program. We are piloting this with 50 women who have been staying home for more than 6 months and now wish to return to the workforce, have the basic knowledge and qualifications. So the idea is we are looking at upskilling them and then preparing them for cybersecurity roles, right? Which may or may not always be done physically at the premises. We also have another initiative called GLOW, which stands for Global Online Workforce Program, where, you know, this is available online. You just have to Google it. And people who are, or women who are even looking to offer their services online and their skills online, they will learn how to upskill. They will learn how to do this kind of work and also bid for these kind of jobs online.
So, of course, the gender gap does cut both ways. I mean, in Malaysia, there's also this concern about the lost boys. As you mentioned just now, more than half of the students in STEM fields in university are women, and fewer Malaysian boys actually make it to university in general compared to girls. based on past successes in bringing more Malaysian girls into university and into STEM courses, are there lessons learned that could be, you know, more, that could bring more boys into these fields as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you pointed out is a very worrying phenomena, but I wouldn't look at it as like a single solution kind of a problem, as in it may not be necessary for us to get all boys into universities, right? Because again, with 4IR, formal education by universities is not the only path to success, right? So if you look at Malaysia, for example, we have a pretty decent TVET education system, you know, with the polytechnics, the community colleges, and many other reputable private TVET colleges as well. And so as parents in this 4IR age or the society 5.0 age, whatever you call it, I think parents need to be more open. There are various paths to a successful career, right? You know, I mean, this is the generation that is growing up with Google and Spotify and Netflix and Astro and all of that. And a one-size-fits-all education system may not work for many of them, you know, because this is a generation which is used to consuming content on demand. And we need to ask ourselves if the current education system still works for this current generation, or if we need to rethink how we deliver education and how we engage these youngsters. You know, just anecdotally, right? I work with many youngsters in my work, as well as in my private life, you know, social work. And many boys that I talk to, they actually tell me point blank that they dislike school, right? But they love tinkering. They love it, tinkering with electronics, computers, cars, bicycles, you know, all of that. And as parents, we need to understand, how do we hone these children's talents and these interests, right? This is one of the reasons why at MDEC we initiated something called the My Digital Maker Movement a few years ago, about 3 years ago. And the idea is to actually get students, give them the space and the opportunity to tinker more and to learn through that process. Because when they learn through that process, they are learning by doing rather than learning through the conventional classroom. And many of our partners in this movement, actually, they, when they run classes on coding and so on, they don't use the conventional chalk and talk methods. So instead, what they do is they allow the child the space. They show them some basic things that, you know, the student can do with these technologies or with the equipment that's before them. And then the students eventually are trained to become self-learners. And this is something that is really important. This is where the future is heading. Classroom learning is going to be very limiting because it's only going to teach you what you need for that point of time. And that is also why when students graduate, sometimes they can't find work because the lessons that they've learned in university are no longer relevant to industry. And for it to be relevant to industry, they need to keep learning. And so the earlier we can start our students on becoming self-learners, the better for them in the long run.
Dr. Sumitra, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Sumitra Nair, Vice President for Talent Development and Digital Entrepreneurship at MDEC, talking to us about the gender gap that we might have to look out for as we head into Industry 4.0. We are spending this entire week, by the way, looking at that. In case you missed it, you can check it out. And if you have any thoughts, questions, observations that you want to share, you can call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.